You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. With more than 30 weekly podcasts, HRN has something for every food lover. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. It's Tuesday, August 30th, 2022. I'm Jimmy Carboni. I'm the host here, Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. Well, when it comes to beer and talking about influencers and important people, Ale Sharpton, based out of Atlanta, is one of them. He's been on the show a few times, and I was looking at some of the projects he does because he's always at the pulse of what's going on in terms of beer and culture. So Ale Sharpton joining us today, and he's got a few other guests coming on too. So Ale, let's say hello to everybody, and let's catch up about what you've been doing.
What's up, Beer Sessions people? I am Ale Sharpton. It's an honor to be with you once again. Shout out to you guys, and thanks for doing what you're doing to the beer community for more than a couple decades now. So I appreciate you. It's an honor to be here.
Well, thanks, Ale. So, yep. You know, it starts with Piano Keys. That's an amazing project.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk about what you're doing in the craft beer world, also with black culture, but you stand out. You are a number one, a craft beer icon.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Yeah. Worked hard for that, brother, but I'll take it.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. So just tell us about the Piano Keys project, a little bit about Atlanta, too, because Atlanta's changed a lot. I think there used to be a 6%. Yes. Cap on ABVs. A little bit about how you got started in the craft beer world in Atlanta.
As soon as I moved here from finishing school at Cornell to Atlanta, the beer scene was archaic due to the laws that were basically limiting them from really creativity and really expressing and showing creative muscle in the beer scene, because it was a limit. Yes, you're correct, at 6%. And I had to help change that through writing, through lobbying, because I knew once Atlanta and Georgia, for that matter, raised the ABV limit, that it would open a floodgate for a lot of breweries and a lot of creativity and a lot of brewing styles, because then you're not limited to just keeping things 6% and under. So it worked. In 2004, the law was passed, raising it to 14%, and Atlanta was everything I thought it would be in terms of a really reputable beer city. And now there's so many breweries. It's definitely one of the most, if not the most diverse beer city in terms of especially black involvement. There's a lot of smaller breweries opening up. Lantucky just opened up, Hip and Hops. Lantucky's with the Nappy Roots. And then Hip and Hops now has three locations. Shout out to Clarence on that. So it's amazing. Atlanta is, I love showing it off. Mike can attest to this. Mike Potter, who's joined us today. And now with concerning Piano Keys, New Belgium, who know I've been doing this for more than 2.5 decades, asked me to be a consultant and help drive a kind of a diversity initiative. And I said, yes, I'll take it. I'll be a consultant. And they didn't know what project I wanted to do. But I said, they flew me out there to Fort Collins, and I sat with them, the executive table, and I said, we're going to make a beer. They're like, well, that's cool. I said, yeah, you're one of the best breweries in the world. Why not do that? So we're going to make a beer. Beer brings good people together. And they said, okay. And then I came up with the concept. The concept would be an imperial chocolate stout, chocolate vanilla stout, ebony, ivory, black, white. So then I called it Piano Keys. I'm all about music. So, and I want to make a beer that will introduce a lot of people, novices and all who think beer is only bitter, only have the tasty notes of a lager or an IPA, that beer can also be decadent and be a certain flavor like chocolate and vanilla and do all these complex things and almost like dessert beer. And it's worked tremendously. It's been a great experiment, and it's a fundraiser element involved called Brewgether, which is also dope. And it raises funds to help minority farmers who brew or make different types of hops and grains or need help with their farming tools or whatever, raise funds for that. Kids who need instruments. just a lot of the equity type of projects to really help a lot of people throughout the country. We use grains and vanilla and chocolate resource from Africa, the motherland. So we're getting a lot of stuff from Ghana, and we've gotten vanilla from, we're going with Uganda for that. So, and now I'm at San Fran brewing 5.0 piano keys. And that is here in San Fran at their satellite brewery for New Belgium. And it's amazing. I have some friends who visited to show love, Hella Coastal, which is a black owned brewery here in Oakland. And they came through to say what's up. And Ramon is a Mexican brother who helped me make this beer. And then my wife, Andrew, is here who runs Brewkether. So it's definitely a kumbaya situation going on.
Well, you know what? It just makes me happy talking to you. You know, there's it's the last couple of years have been a lot going on. And I love always love your positive vibe. I have a good friend who's a writer and says, you know what? All I want to hear are positive stories. So let's jump to your other friend. So Mike Potter... we were talking about a month ago, and he says,
yep.
You know what, let's do a show, but you got to meet Mike Potter. So, Mike, just tell us a little bit about your programs. I mean, it's like the Black Brew Culture and Blacktoberfest.
Yeah, so Black Brew Culture, our platform, we started in 2014. We've been advocating for Black and you know, minority individuals in the beer industry for some years now, trying to blend together brewing, events, panels, discussions, anything that we can do to advance the beer industry as a whole with diversity and equity, people of color. And it's been a great ride. We started doing beer festivals in 2018, started a Fresh Fest in Pittsburgh, migrated into Blacktoberfest in 2020. This will be our third one in Carolinas and our first year in Atlanta. So it's just been a positive experience. Met up with Ale. Ale's been a good friend of mine since we started this platform in 2014. He was one of the first supporters that we were able to connect with and collaborate with, and he bought into the vision. And so he's always been able, you know, he's always been on board helping us to push the movement forward. So with Blacktoberfest this year, this is our first year in Atlanta, our second year in Durham. We are up to now 35 collaboration beers with different Black-owned breweries and Black-owned entities in the Georgia, Atlanta Metroplex. It's an exciting time because, as Ale mentioned, Atlanta's probably one of the bigger hubs for cultural diversity and particularly Black influence in the beer community. So it was a pleasure to link up with Clarence Boston at Hip and Hops and set the ground floor venue for this year's festival and kind of just get something historic going with the festival in Atlanta. So we're real excited to be involved with that. Today is a really special day because we are here at Dirtbag Ales in Hope Mills, North Carolina, with Tito. He's a head brewer here. This is where we brew our flagship Blacktoberfest Marzen Ale. So today we had a great turnout. Nappy Roots came through in Nantucky, you know, new Black-owned brewery in Atlanta. They made the trek to come help us brew this beer today. Obviously, Tito and his crew, very gracious for us to start this beer here. And we're sitting in the room now with Tito, as well as Kelvin from Beale Street Brewing. So these are all Joel Franken from Halfway Crooks and Indigo Brewing Project.
All right. You loaded this up. We're going to get back to them, but I want to hear more about you, Mike. So I heard about Fresh Fest, and that sounded like the coolest thing that has come around in a while. How did you start getting involved in the beer, the Black brew culture and craft beer in general, and a little bit about the evolution of your festivals?
So I just started making beer around 2012 or so, got some Northern Brewer kits and decided, you know, hey, we used to own a printing shop in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And we said, hey, let's start making beer. So we wanted to, ideally, we were trying to start a nano brewery of sorts. We really didn't know what the heck we were doing, but made 10 or so batches of homebrew. And, you know, it was a challenge. So it was something that I wasn't ready to actually engage in full-fledged. So we decided, hey, let's start a platform where we can do events, we can expand education, we can expand knowledge of individuals in the craft beer industry. And that's how Black Brew Culture actually got started. And then the next evolution with you know, the platform was to, hey, now that we know these people are brewing and we know who can actually be involved, let's do an event, let's do a festival, and that's how Fresh Fest started.
That's great. I will say, with both of you on, I remember it was maybe 8 years ago, I think Thrillist wrote an article. It might have been Dave Infante, but he was trying to just talk about, you know, why aren't there any, like, that many Black brewers in America? But now it seems like between what you guys are doing and a few other folk and Weathered Souls, I feel like I'm getting to know, you know, more Black brewers in the country. There seems like there's more festivals. Ale, you want to take that, start with that? Because I think that's important to talk about.
Oh, definitely. It's an ongoing necessary topic. It needs to keep going until there is equity. And Dan Fontaine really did an awesome job with that. I remember that Thrillist. And I actually contribute to Thrillist regularly on the beer scene. It needed to happen. And it's slowly progressing. You know, people say there are a lot more Black-owned breweries now, but there's a lot more white-owned ones, and so that level is still relative. It's still, like, progressing the same kind of rate. But the point is this. There are more Black-owned breweries now, and a lot more presence, and there's a lot more recognition, which is going involved, and a lot more people of color are getting more involved with actually learning that brewing can be an actual career. And it can be profitable and something lucrative, or not even lucrative, just something, you know, you can have and do for a living and enjoy it. So it's more about, it was really about exposure and getting people experience and knowing that this can happen. So there are a lot more internships, a lot more foundations that are starting, a lot more programs and grants that are being developed, like Dr. J. Beckham and even Garrett Oliver down in Brooklyn has gotten involved. And of course, myself with Brewgether. It's just so many things happening, and I'm loving to see the progress, but it's an ongoing battle.
Yeah. No, I agree with L 100%. When we started, it was the percentages have gone up, and we've noticed that we've played off of that. We've continued to try to expand the movement. There's a lot of breweries now. Yes. I mean, so, you know, like I said, with Blacktoberfest, and specifically the beer, the Mars and Ale, that is a platform that we've developed to actually showcase just what we're talking about. Every year we choose 10 different breweries or 10 different establishments that are putting in the kind of work that we're putting in, or that are Black-owned breweries or startups to brew that ale and kind of just get the showcase and let the public know these are the new people that are entering. And I think, you know, largely in part of the movement that we've created between Ale and I, definitely the work that Kelvin and Tito are doing as brewers, pushing the movement forward, it's definitely been a lot of ambition. I know there's funky time. There's quite a, you know, we were talking about a 1% situation, possibly 60 breweries in 2015. I gotta believe that number's up to 100 plus maybe now. So that's a nice advancement in a couple of years. So we're just keeping the movement going and, you know, definitely seeing a change and moving the needle.
Mike, when you were first brewing, what were the styles that you were trying to make?
Man, listen, so what I was strictly on Pliny the Elder. We were doing a clone package that they offered, all grain clone. And so we tried that about 50 times, man, these are 12 times, man, trying to get that recipe down pat just so we can make an IPA that tasted similar to what that clone was like. So the first batch we made was a brown ale. I'll never forget. It was the worst beer that I've ever tasted in my life. I thought I'd keep it. And I, you know, at that time, we didn't know a lot about beer styles and how to storage beer. So we thought the longer we kept it, it would age like wine. Man, every day that we kept that beer got nastier and nastier. And finally we decided, okay, that was a bust. But then the Pliny clones and the IPAs that we made, those are the ones we had the most success with. So definitely IPAs are my favorite style of brew.
Oh, that's great. Hey, well, let's introduce the guys that are with you. Let's do one at a time. They can come on and say their names and where they're from, and we'll get them to talk a little bit too.
Cool. Well, first I'm going to introduce Tito. Tito is the owner of Dirtbag Ales. I'm not even going to speak much about it. Let him do the talking. But one of our outstanding brewers and outstanding supporters of everything that we do. He's very knowledgeable in the industry. I'll let him talk, basically.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for allowing me to be here in this forum. This is my first time actually being on just a straight radio show. So my name is Tito. I am the owner and head brewer here at Dirtbag Ales. We've been around since 2013, and we've basically carved out a nice little niche for ourselves here in Hope Mills, North Carolina, just outside of Fayetteville and about an hour southeast of Raleigh.
And second, I'll introduce Kelvin. Kelvin is the head brewer, the owner and head brewer when they do brew of Beale Street Brewing in Memphis, Tennessee. Another great addition to our network. We love him and appreciate him. Say hello to Kelvin.
Morning, gentlemen. Once again, I'm Kelvin Kohlheim with Beale Street Brewing Company in Memphis, Tennessee.
Thanks, Kelvin. So just for Tito and Kelvin, just tell us how you guys got started. The same as Mike. Like, were you homebrewers? Why did you open a brewery? Tito.
So I was actually a medic in the military for 8 years before starting this venture with my partner, Eric. We added Jerry along the way, but there's three of us in total. And I just felt like there was an opportunity to put a brewery together, and this area was prime for it. There were two operating breweries that were here that basically kept their beer in-house. And I set my goal to be not necessarily being a restaurant or a brew pub, just to put good beer in front of people. And they liked it. So eventually we had a tap room, initially starting off as a contract brewer. Like, there's a lot of hurdles that we face going through that entire process. It took us about a year to actually get our own facility up and running. And then after that, once we got our own production place open, we took about another 2 years to actually get the tap room open and running properly. And then you fast forward to May 2019, and we're cutting a ribbon on our new facility right here along I-95 in North Carolina. And we've got about 6 acres with a craft cocktail bar, a dog park, kid park, two resident food establishments, a cover pavilion, and an 8,000 square foot facility.
That's great. You know, Tito, there's so many breweries now. What did you have any hurdles that last jump, you know, to your new facility? Did you face any hurdles with financing or, regulations or anything?
There were a few setbacks that came during the actual build out process itself. But I think that the term is we are debt averse here. So we don't tend to do anything that's going to necessarily put too much out there so that we don't want to risk all that much. So like when we are building these things and we're making our expansions, they're very carefully planned out so that we don't end up overextending ourselves one way or the other. They're definitely calculated risks, and so far everything has panned out in our favor, and we're eternally grateful and humbled by the support that we've actually gotten from our local community and from others. And it's through great things like this initiative right here that I think that we really kind of gain a lot of support and favor because there was nothing even close to this. When I started homebrewing in 2010, I didn't have a forum to go and look up, nor had I the wherewithal to actually find, you know, the information that I actually needed about brewing and doing these things. So like everything I got was from a book and like random internet sites. And then we had a single place here in town that actually offered like homebrew kits. And I just happened to pick up a partial mash kit and I had a good time doing it. And here I am 12 years later and brewing every day.
Yeah, he's being super humble, y'all. I'm sorry to cut in. I got to tell you, if you're sitting at this facility right now, it's amazing. 15 barrel system. He's got what, 15 tanks or 10 barrel? No, 10.
There's the 430s.
430s. I mean, it's humongous. It rivals any brewery that I've been to outside of like, you know, your bigger New Belgiums, obviously, and your Anheuser-Busch's. But this is a beautiful facility. So Tito's been putting in a lot of work. So we definitely respect and appreciate what he's got going on. And he probably won't tell you until you're sitting here having some of the beer, having some of the food, enjoying the space. It's incredible here.
So, Mike, when you go about putting on your festivals, how did you meet Tito?
Like I said, he could tell you. He was in his garage and I was in my garage. And we were both like, hey, you know, somebody, you know what I mean? Somebody mentioned, hey, you got to meet this guy. And we went to his first spot, had no idea that we'd be sitting in where we're sitting. But, you know, you create bonds, you create friendships, same way that I've bonded with Kelvin, same way I bonded with Ale. There's a genuine, you know, desire to push the culture and push the brewing industry forward in ways that we can contribute. And when you have that common interest, it's easy to make a bond. And, you know, he's been supportive when he was able to. When we brought the idea of Blacktoberfest and the Mars and Ale, you know, he was all on board. You know, he started ordering ingredients as we were talking. And before I even got home, he had already had a brew date scheduled and the beer in place. So it's just been, you know, dope to have someone help us facilitate what we're trying to do. So, yeah, that's kind of the answer to that question.
And Mike, I get it with the Marzen because I just love, you know, all the different beer styles. Is there a certain Marzen recipe or are you leaving that up to the brewers?
We leave it up to Tito. Originally came up with the majority of the recipe. We started doing it with honey roasted squash. We wanted to replace the seasonal kind of pumpkin thing with something similar and close. We did that year one, and then year two, we left the squash out, and it tasted a little better, believe it or not, without the squash. Squash was pretty good first year, but it kind of had a better kick and a better flavor. So we are always exploring. This year, we stayed with the same recipe from year two, changed up the can design a little bit, but the recipe's the same. And maybe next year, we'll try something different and see if we can do some adjuncts or something. You know, something cool. We kind of want to stay away from pumpkin, kind of want to stay away from the traditional adjuncts, but you know, it's been a great brewing process.
Well, Mike, I'm into beer. I'm into malts and hops and water and yeast. So
sure.
I got to try that Marzen. Sounds really great.
We got you, man. We got you.
And then this festival is exciting, man. Like I said, now that I know you did Fresh Fest, it really popped up on my radar in Blacktoberfest. So tell me about the cities that it's in and how you're going about rolling it out.
So we wanted to make it a celebration, a month-long situation. Whichever cities that we could grab on board that had the, you know, had the following, had the support and the backing of the beer community, St. Louis, Atlanta, and Durham. Durham's our home base outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So you know, we want to expand this as far as we can. We were doing something with Johannesburg, South Africa. We still are connected there. So we're trying to make this a global situation. But basically, wherever there's a good, solid beer community, wherever we have the support, Atlanta, obviously, goes without saying. We have Atlantucky. You know, we've just got tons of support in Atlanta. Durham, that's our home base. We've got tons of support there. And St. Louis is a pretty big beer city as well. Obviously, with, you know, the staple industry, the Anheuser-Busch's, the Four Hands, the Second Shift, you know, Civil Life. There's tons of breweries that have supported us. So that's basically how we design and how we move forward with where we're going to do these beer festivals at.
And Mike, what's next? Is Atlanta next?
Atlanta's first on deck is St. Louis, October 1st. Atlanta is the 15th, that's second. And then we close out the whole festival with Durham on the 22nd of October.
Wow. So you get, well, we're going to keep talking about the logistics because this is pretty exciting. Let's get Calvin on. I haven't talked to him yet.
Absolutely. Got to talk to this brother. He's doing some big things in Memphis. He's got incredible brand. I won't even interrupt, and I'll let him kind of speak on it because he can talk better than I can about Bill Street Brewing.
All right.
Good morning, gentlemen. Once again, I'm Kelvin Cohan with Bill Street Brewing Company in Memphis, Tennessee.
Just, again, Kelvin, tell us how you got started in beer and, you know, your interests. What are some of the styles you like to drink yourself?
So I got into beer on the cooking aspect. A friend of mine bought me a beer kit years ago, and it sat around for months. And finally decided to open it up, get it out. I took the grains to a local homebrew store. I'm like, hey, are these good? They've been in this box. Is it okay? And they were like, don't you? Yeah, they smell okay. But immediately they upgraded me. So from the Mr. Beer Kit, so got a was the 5-gallon system, started brewing, and I realized, this is like cooking. So I approached beer from the aspect of cooking and just started using a lot of adjuncts and just having fun with it, similar to cooking. So once you do that, you slap a name on your air quotes homebrew system. And we decided on Bill Street Brewing Company, which Memphis was underserved on the craft beer side. So let's go with Bill Street Brewing Company. So here we are.
Wow. So you're saying Memphis was underserved for craft beer?
Yeah, at the time, there were only maybe four breweries in the town in Memphis, four or five, to say. And just felt it was a need for some more, you know, to do some fun stuff. You know, along with some of the other breweries that are brewing there, just want to increase the beer scene, celebrate Memphis as well.
And what do you like? I know a lot of guys go to Memphis for the barbecue, the Memphis in May event.
Absolutely.
And if I come to visit you, give me a little tour. Where should I hang out? And what should we do?
First stop, Bill Street, downtown, Peabody. You got Stax Museum, Sun Studios. Graceland, Elvis Presley, of course. We got tons of great museums and restaurants.
Oh, yeah. So it's unbeatable, right?
Absolutely.
It's right on the river, right?
It is. And like you say, Memphis and May is on the river. You have some sunset concerts, barbecue festival, sunset barbecue festival. Not to mention the Memphis Grizzlies that'll be winning a championship in the next 3 years. So knocking on wood right now.
Start talking about basketball. Okay. Yeah. And then last thing, yeah, the Marzen. Tell me about, are you just making a straight up Marzen? Anything that you want to say about the beer for Blacktoberfest?
Yeah, Marzen is all Tito. That's his creation. I'm just came to support.
Are you working on the brew today with them?
Absolutely. So yeah, he sent the recipe around and, you know, I gave my thumbs up on it. So, yeah, it was a good recipe. Like Mike said, we cleaned it up. We didn't put any adjuncts, squash in it this year. So we just want to brew a straight, clean beer, a beer-flavored beer.
Beer-flavored beer. But more importantly, just as important, I think, the association with the Grizzlies and the beer that you made with Ja Morant. Yeah, talk about it real quick.
So, yeah, we celebrated Ja Morant during the playoff run last year. He calls himself a ninja, so we did Dark Ninja Rises, which was a, it was essentially a West Coast IPA. We call it an all-star IPA. It turned out pretty well, is what Mike was referring to.
Yeah. Had to mention that because it came out extraordinary, man. I shared it a couple of times, and I couldn't get my hands on enough to share more, but definitely wanted to mention that.
Well, you got a nice community, Mike. I'll go back to ale. We're talking about beer styles. Ale, the piano keys. I know a little bit about how the first recipe and with New Belgium and the chocolate vanilla stout. How are you adapting it now? So you're working on piano keys 5.0, which is amazing. And you're at San Francisco and the New Belgium there. How is the recipe evolving now that you've done it on the fifth time?
We're starting to freak it a little bit, man. The base is delicious, 10%. I appreciate your kind words about it. It's been received really well received, actually. A lot of great feedback and high ratings. But that's all about just people enjoying themselves is the most important thing and bringing people together with every launch that it has. So now, like I said, we're here in San Fran brewing a version now where I'm starting to get a little freaky with it. So I'm going to add some different flavors to the original batch. And not everyone's the same, which is dope about it being a 5.0. I'm glad you said that, or a 4.0. Everyone has a little bit of a different malt bill, different chocolate base, but we stay around the 9 to 10% range. So it's almost a fun challenge to brew it in different places. I brewed this in 3 different places so far. So now, and a shout out to definitely the brewers who are making this happen here, 2 women who are killing it, and then another brother named Ramon who's killing it too. So it's really been a great diversity type of project, and it's just living like that. But this one's going to have a little bit of mint in it. You're the first ones to know. We're going to make a piano keys chocolate vanilla mint version. And it's not going to be overly peppermint patty. It's going to be more on the subtle side so that we avoid that toothpaste kind of flavor that a lot of mint beers try not to do but are successful in doing it. We're going to freak it, though. It's going to be really fun. So shout out to everybody here for making this a reality.
Well, thanks, Al. Hey, you know, just more about you as a writer, because, again, you're a craft beer icon. Thrillist, the best lists. Is it always IPA, or are there different? Tell us about that.
Thrillist, I have to give a shout out to, because not only are they fun to write for, but also really, you know, when you have to write for different magazines, you kind of have to kind of alter to their writing style and their kind of the way they present themselves. So some are a little more technical than others. And I used to write for a lot of hip hop magazines and stuff like that, but there's still a little bit of that technicality involved. But with Thrillist, I almost speak my voice as if I'm talking to you, and they love that. They embrace it. So when I write about beer, they really start to evolve into a very strong beer kind of media authority. And no, they don't just do IPAs, but that one obviously gets the most attention because that's the most popular style right now in the beer industry. And Hazy's really blew that up even more because it made it a little less on the hoppy side and all that. You know what I'm talking about there. But IPAs get the most love. But no, I just did a pumpkin ales one, and that's one of the most polarizing styles of beer you can imagine. People either love it or they hate it. It's hard to find those in between. So that one's out. And then we could do another Best Breweries coming up, which is always fun. And I love writing for them because I always look out for the smaller guys. And I look out for minority breweries too, minority owned projects and stuff like that, and make sure they get a little bit of love in there. So people a lot of times know which ones, when there's certain breweries getting shout out, they know that it's me giving that love. And they really applaud that and applaud Thrillist for providing that platform to have these different beers on there.
No, that's great, man. You know, it's amazing how you just balance everything, because I know you're...
I'm a Libra.
You are. That's it. And I have to ask, what's a Libra? I don't even know.
We're all about scales and balance, brother. That's all. Yeah.
Well, we're going to take one short break. We're going to stay on for a little bit, but take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. Hold on.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Roberta's was founded in Bushwick in 2008 and has become one of the most iconic restaurants in the country. HRN made its home inside of Roberta's in 2009, and together they have become part of the DIY fabric of the neighborhood. Roberta's, the pizza restaurant, is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week and serves much more than just the famous wood-fired pizzas. Their team dreams up new salads, pastas, and sandwiches on the regular. Roberta's Tiki Bar is alive and well in the back garden, serving up frozen drinks in the summer and hot toddies in the winter. Stop by the bakery and takeout spot next door for fresh breads, sticky buns, and pizzas to go. And of course, there's the 2-Michelin-starred Blanca tucked away in the garden for truly daring diners. But Roberta's also extends beyond Bushwick, with multiple locations in New York City and now in Los Angeles. You can also find their frozen pies in grocery stores around the country. The spirit of Roberta's, like Heritage Radio Network, is everywhere. Here's to many more years of pizza-powered radio. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Hey, hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. Join us and become a member at heritageradionetwork.org/donate. So we got Ale Sharpton and Mike Potter. Mike Potter is running the Blacktoberfest coming up in there's St. Louis and there's Atlanta and Durham, North Carolina. So Mike, you got some great guests on. You mentioned that Kelvin is doing or has made a beer with John Morant. You know so much about the brewers that you're working with. So why don't you tell me a few more highlights like that? Because it's very exciting, right? That they're able to mix with like basketball culture.
Yeah, thanks for approaching it from that angle, because that goes overlooked sometimes and unseen is some of the creativity that, I mean, all breweries, when we talk about beyond the color barrier, we're very creative. When we connect brands, sometimes it's very easy to, you know, say, okay, hey, we like doing this type of style. Excuse me. I'm used to drinking this type of style. Let's collaborate. Let's make something happen. So one of our biggest supporters and biggest sponsors actually for Blacktoberfest is Killer Mike and Run the Jewels. And we are now in the process of making our second year collaboration with them for the festival. And that happens to be happening here at Dirtbag Ale. So year one, we did All Due Respect was the name of the beer. Proximity Brewing Company, which is my startup brewery, and Spaceway Brewing Company in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. We did a collaboration with Run the Jewels that was really successful. Did a merch launch. Very supportive. They've got those guys. If you go to runthejewels.beer, I think it's runthejewels.beer, that's where you can see their projects. Super supportive of what we're doing. So I guess the biggest project outside of the John Morant project with Kelvin and Bill Street would be this new collaboration with Run the Jewels for our second year supporting Blacktoberfest. So we're excited about that.
Well, that's great. And I'm going to go back to Kelvin. Kelvin, tell me more about Memphis and the beers you're making. Come on.
So we're intentional about celebrating Memphis. Our whole tagline is tap into the music and also beer everybody, which is a play on Memphis versus everybody. But beer everybody is essentially celebrating community through the love of craft beer. And when we say community, we mean Memphis community. So we've celebrated a lot of Memphis, where everything is intentional. So we celebrate Memphis on the labels. Let's see, we've done work with Isaac Hayes' daughter, 8-Ball MJG, Space Age Sippin'. There's a collaboration we did with some local Memphis legend rappers. We did Hypnotizing Minds with 3-6 Mafia. Let's see, we did a Memphis Mini label. The actual artist was the great nephew of Memphis Minnie. She's a old blues musician. I'm trying to think, what else have we done? So we did. So we just released a golf course beer called Hush Maine, which is celebrating the FedEx St. Jude Golf Tournament, where, you know, when golfers putt or tee off, they hold a sign to say, hush, y'all. We flipped it and made it Hush Maine, which was a peach lemonade ale where we laid in a little chamomile and lavender on top of that. So it turned out really nice. Nice summer ale. We did a B.B. King themed beer called a Thrillers On. Love and Happiness, celebrating Al Green. Let's see what else we got. Yeah, we have several. Yeah, we're intentional about definitely celebrating Memphis in the community for sure.
Well, it's great. It makes me want to go there, man. Thank you. And Tito, more about you in Durham. Keep talking because you guys are great. And I want to thank Alan and Mike for inviting you guys both because you guys are fresh voices and I just want to come visit your breweries.
Yeah, well, we'd love to have you. We are in Hope Mills, though, not Durham, unfortunately. Well, not unfortunately. We're actually very fortunate to serve the community that we do. There's actually quite a bit that being in the military showed me about this place, and that's there was a lack of basically like there's no connection. So Fayetteville itself, if you didn't know, you'd probably just skip right over it for all intents and purposes. Like most people don't even think that anything good comes from here. And that's because for, I guess, since World War II, this place has only been known because of Fort Bragg. Coming from the military, I was able to at least navigate somewhat. Like, I knew that sentiment. And so it kind of guided what we were trying to do and trying to bridge that gap between this very much transient community that comes through here. That doesn't necessarily feel connected, but they carry it's the same people from all over, like any town USA. You have folks that join the military at 18 years old and they come down here and they spend 20 years of their life serving their country. And then they want to make it feel like home. So like, what does that mean to folks? That means like spending your money locally and getting out there and seeing the things in the community that you want to see. So we focus a lot on bringing folks out in that community service aspect and also drawing attention to multicultural events throughout the year, being able to host things like Juneteenth and this coming weekend we have a Puerto Rican festival coming up, and it's all of these things are all just immensely rewarding. And I mean, I'm not from here originally, but I chose to stay here in the hopes that I could do something positive in an area, I guess. And I've been very fortunate to have that and to experience it and to see it come to fruition.
Yeah, man, that's great.
Yeah, if I can add on to that real quick, I know Tito, he's a very humble guy. One of the things that I'd love to bring attention to as far as what he brings to the table as a brewery, he covers every style. I think there's 20 beers on tap. Again, he's very humble in regards to sitting in this brewery and looking at the size, the square footage of what they have going on here. But 20 different beers, roughly. So he covers every style, so something for everybody's interest. And again, he talks about just being involved in community development projects. If you had a project that is of some concern, military-wise or other, you don't have to talk long before he's on board and supporting. So that's a big deal because, these projects need funding, they need support, they need visibility, they need voices. And Tito's been, even though it's out in Hope Mills, which is close to Fort Bragg, close to Fayetteville. Nonetheless, the 6 acres that he's landed on, having this space for people to come here and push their projects, it's a pretty big deal. So again, make note of brewery-wise, beer-wise, he covers every style and he makes them well. And the fact that we can brew our Blacktoberfest projects here is it speaks volumes.
That's great, Mike. I want to just go around the room for one last question, a simple question. Your favorite beer style and what what beer you might be drinking this week. I'm going to start. I'm drinking right now. I'm loving lagers. I'm drinking OEC Brewing in Connecticut. They use a traditional German system, but it's a cool ship lager. And it's just got that little edge to it that I like. Mike?
Let's go. Let me go last.
All right.
Start with Kelvin.
All right, Kelvin here. I'm a IPA guy, West Coast, hazy IPA, session IPA. I'm a fan of IPAs, and of course, love a great lager. Can't leave those out, but I like stouts and porters, sours. And I didn't mention, we did a peanut butter banana porter celebrating Elvis Presley called King's Ransom last year. So that was one beer I failed to mention. I'm a fan of flavor, so I like to try all types of beer, sours, gozas, saisons. You know, I like anything, but if I'm going to order some first thing, it'll be either IPA or a lager or crisp golden ale or something like that.
And then Tito?
Hey, so for me, I'm a huge fan of saisons, actually. Saisons are, like, right up my alley. And I just recently noticed that I had a can of a Bird's Fly South mixed cultured saison downstairs. I think that'll be my my Saturday sipper.
All right, I'm ready. You ready for
me? You go, Mike. You go. Right,
so right now, I agree with Tito, and I agree with both of these guys on their styles. I'm a saison guy. Rocket Science, though, as far as the IPA and Full Steam and Durham, they're killing it with me. I'm not a big hazy person. I just like the basic old school IPA, the original Stone IPA type style. So definitely shout out to Full Steam with that Rocket Science.
I want to go back to Kelvin for 1 minute. Elvin, you mentioned Elvis Presley. Okay, what is it about peanut butter with Elvis?
Well, peanut butter banana sandwich was his favorite sandwich, so we made a peanut butter banana beer celebrating him.
That's good to know. I used to have my old menu in New York, this thing called the Elvis Tea Sandwich, and it was a grilled cheese with just peanut butter, bananas, and honey.
Oh yeah!
But I never knew the story. I don't really know too much about Memphis, so
yeah, that was his favorite combination: peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
All right, and then Ale, let's close it out. Let's you know, you're out there, you're on the pulse, you're in San Francisco. You know what are you drinking out there, man?
So I bet all my boys on this train right now could answer this question for you as far as what I drank, but I am definitely a West Coast IPA kind of guy. Hazy's did that thing for a while, but I don't want IPAs I can chew. I'm all about nice, clear IPAs that have that hot profile, but the key is balance. And this one I'm drinking right now, I have to give it a shout out. I say this is one that's phenomenal. It's called Something About the West Coast, and they only brewed it here at New Belgium, and this is a limited edition joint, but I'm definitely crushing this. But whenever I went to the stores, I definitely grabbed me a Blind Pig and Pliny from Russian River. That kind of style profile is how I get down for the most part. So Atlanta has doing a great job of making a lot of beers kind of in this kind of wave. Three Taverns and Creature Comforts and breweries like that are really, really killing it right now. Atlantucky's doing a hell of a brewing job too. So I'm open, but overall, I sleep better at night and wake up better in the morning when I have an IPA that's kind of West Coast forward.
All right. Listen, Ale, whenever I talk to you, we always meet some great friends, and it's very interesting. I can't wait to meet you all in person and to hang out. Are you going to be at the Blacktoberfest, Ale?
Oh, man, it's in my city. I had no choice. I had to get it down. ATL is really, I really brag about it, love showing it off. Every brother who's come to visit me they know how I get down. And you had the full invite, you and your team, to get an Ale Sharp and Red Carpet treatment. But I will be there. I have a couple of beers I'm working with, and I'm just here to be Mike's support and make this thing happen.
Well, also way overdue in Georgia, your friend Todd at Good Word Brewing. So We're definitely going to come down. Yeah.
Todd and Ryan.
You know, let's have Mike close it out. Mike, one more time, tell us about the dates and cities for upcoming Blocktoberfest.
Cool, man. We have October 1st in St. Louis, Missouri. Got a great lineup for that one. That's probably our smaller footprint. But we go big, big, big in Atlanta on the 15th, October 15th, Saturday. Man, got about 35 collaborations, 20 Black-owned breweries, tons of activities. And then we close out the month and the whole season of Blacktoberfest in Durham on October 22nd, 10 to 2 p.m. I'm sorry, 2 to 10 p.m. are the time frames for each of the festivals. Look forward to seeing everybody, all the support, all the conversations. Look forward to everyone meeting up at each of these cities. Can't thank you guys enough for having us on and promoting this festival. I think it's great for the beer community, and we're appreciative of everybody's involvement, particularly Ale. Can't say enough about his involvement. He's been phenomenal and supporting us since day one. So let's come out and have a good time.
I got you, brother.
Thank you, guys. One last thing, Mike, shout out to you. Martin as a style, I love it. Thanks. I love that you're dedicating it to Martin, which is a great classic style. And I'm going to come try. At some point, I'm going to try the Dirtbag Martin. So thank you guys so much, Ale, Mike, Kelvin, and Tito, for joining me here on Heritage Radio Network. Big shout out to our engineer, Armin Spengen, and producer intern, Alex Tron. I'm Jimmy Carboni. We'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Thank you, guys.
Beer Sessions Radio is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.